You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. Now, here's your hosts, Alan Zog the Jedi and John English the Germs Guy.
Guys, we're here for a little mini cast midweek, about to talk about Game 5 of the OKC Thunder versus the Utah Jazz. John, how are you?
I'm great.
And this is a mini cast for anybody listening, so this will be quick, but I just want to go over a few things. I had some questions I wanted to throw out there first. Are the Jazz overachieving?
Overachieving? No, they're exactly achieving.
Okay.
They have been playing this way the past 40 games, so yeah, they're exactly achieving.
All right, because I've read a lot from people. SI posted an article this morning about the series, talking about the Jazz overachieving. It was very nice listening to Rachel Nichols yesterday talk about the fact, no, this is exactly who the Jazz are. They're not overachieving. Okay, second of all, is OKC that big of a disappointment, or is it the Jazz really just, are they doing this to OKC?
Let's see. Both are possible. OKC has enough talent, and they had enough wins in the season that they should be a good team in the postseason. They have enough talent. Is Andre Roberson really that big of a factor? Apparently he is. Plus, what has been really obvious this series is that Quinn Snyder is a much better coach than Billy Donovan. I don't know if Billy Donovan is just giving a bunch of leeway to his star players. I really have a hard time figuring out what they're doing. Quinn Snyder, he has plan A, plan B, plan C, and plan D. Billy Donovan has plan A, plan B, and after plan B, who knows? Just go out there and shoot. I think coaching has been a big difference in this series.
But let's be honest. Does Andre Roberson really change the landscape of this series that much? Do the Jazz still win the series if Andre Roberson plays?
Who knows? I mean, he is their best defensive player, and he's out. And apparently he is that big of a factor. He shouldn't be, but apparently he is, because OKC just doesn't seem to have an answer without him, which I'm honestly surprised by.
Well, and I had a long chat with Zach Harper, Talk Hoops, the other day about this subject. He believes that with Andre Roberson in this series, that OKC wins this series. That was his belief then. I'd be curious to pick his brain again. And just a teaser, folks, we hope to have Zach on here in the next couple of weeks. I've talked to him. He wants to come on again. So we're hoping to have him on and talk a little bit more about this and about the Jazz. All right, my last question regarding this series, actually two questions. What's better, talent or execution? Because you have talent in OKC. You have execution in the Jazz, and I'll argue the Jazz have talent as well. What's better? What wins out?
Well, so far, execution.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you rank all of the players, OKC overall has a more talented roster, but they're just not coming together the way you would expect. And I've heard comparisons to previous supposedly all-star teams where if the chemistry isn't there, if the coaching's not there, execution will overcome them. You look at the 2004 Detroit Pistons, the year they won the championship, they had better execution and a better overall team than the all-star studded Lakers. And, you know, this looks like it's another one of those examples.
And let's talk about Game 5. What do you expect in Game 5? Can the Jazz close out in Game 5? I'll give my prediction, but I want to hear what you say first.
I think they can. I think it'll be very tough. I think it'll be their toughest game since game one. I think OKC is going to be really motivated. I would expect somehow that they're going to have adjustments made. The problem that OKC has had, you look at game four, they had the lead for most of the first half. Jazz only got the lead in the last few minutes of the half. And I look at that as in-game adjustments. OKC had something going. They had a lot of emotion out there. There was a lot of physicality early. And it wound up being for naught when their game plan fell apart. Jazz were able to make the adjustments, and they were able to blow that game open. So in game five, Thunder are going to come out. They're going to try to punch just as hard as they did in game four, but that's something they're going to want to sustain. I think the I think the OKC crowd is going to be motivated to try to outdo what they saw happen in Utah in game 3 and 4. I think that'll be somewhat of a factor, but I think they realize that they can't keep doing what they're doing. I would think that would occur to them. I think what was baffling about game 4 is they just didn't really seem to learn the lessons from game 2 and 3, where Russ said, all right, I'm going to shut down Rudio, but I'm going to ignore team defense. That obviously didn't work either. So they have enough talent, they can win game 5, but I also think that I think game 5 is a toss-up, really. I could see it going either way. I could see Jazz closing it out. I could see OKC squeaking out another win, and then Jazz closing it in game 6. I wonder what Paul George is thinking at this point. Is he thinking, if we just lose this game, I'm out of here? Or is he really going, no, I really want to get to the conference finals with this team?
Okay. So if I had to pick, we all said all along that we thought the Jazz would win in 6, and I still believe that. But I'm leaning towards the Jazz maybe pull out one tonight, and maybe it ends tonight in 5. I don't know. The way that the last 2 or 3 games have gone, especially the last one at home for the Jazz, you're right. OKC is going to come out punching. They're going to come out swinging tonight. The Jazz, how they react is what's critical. Game 6, I think, is still where it could and should and will likely end. The Jazz will win Friday. But like you said, tonight's a toss-up. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Jazz pull it off. And I expect some very physical play. Anybody get tossed tonight?
Any what?
Anybody get tossed?
Oh, wouldn't surprise me. I mean, If the game was only like 3 points difference, I don't think Crowder would have got tossed last time. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if someone gets tossed tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how that turns out. I do want just some quick final thoughts from you. Yesterday I did a short thread. I feel like what has set the Jazz team apart from many over the last few years is their chemistry. Of course, you mentioned Quinn Snyder and their coaching and their resolve and perseverance of the team. They love each other and respect each other. It's very fun to watch in post-game interviews between Donovan and Rudy, Donovan and Ricky. There is a chemistry and a bond and a camaraderie that I have not seen in a Jazz squad in a very long time, and it's hard to argue. There's nothing like this in the NBA right now, is there?
Not off the top of my head. No, if I thought about it for a minute, maybe I could come up with something. Closest I can think of is Boston.
Which is interesting to me because that's another team that I think is modeled after what the Jazz are doing. They're great coaching. They execute, they have star power. I mean, the Jazz have star power, but they execute and they're insistent in their execution. Brad Stevens, Quinn Snyder, very similar. It's funny that you bring up Boston because I have to agree. That's somewhat, and it's been that way for a few years for them.
Yeah, they've always had good team bonding. I think that's a testament to what Brad Stevens is able to do there every year that he's been there. And I think they just tend to find the right talent. They find guys who are happy to be there. Guys who come from other situations are glad they arrived. And you get it from the guys that we've got, like Jarebko and Crowder, where they've been able to kind of keep that going. What they had there, they're able to have that here. I mean, Crowder was miserable in Cleveland. That is just a dysfunctional place. It doesn't matter if they were winning. He was thrilled to come here where he was able to play in a system where he knew that there would be coaches who keep all the players accountable. And you know, I love seeing guys come from other situations, come here and fall in love right away here. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason they're able to fall in love right away.
No, I agree. And I'm looking forward to the future with this team. Are there any other thoughts you want to throw into? I mean, it's a little mini cast. It's really quick, but we wanted to get some thoughts out before game 5. Any additional thoughts on game 5 tonight? What to expect? Does Donovan pick up where he's continued and score another 30 points? Rudy Gobert, I mean, what do you expect otherwise tonight? Any final thoughts?
I think they're going to try to concentrate more on Donovan tonight. I would not be surprised if he's held the single digits in the first half, but I still bet he gets 25.
Okay. All right, I agree, and it's gonna be a battle tonight. Other than that, we have any other things we want to talk about on this particular minicast, John?
Manu Ginobili might be retired.
Oh yeah, Manu Ginobili. And okay, Manu Ginobili. I can't believe we get to say goodbye to a legend. But the other question too is, does Dwayne Wade retire now?
I mean, he's been playing well, but how long does he want to play? I mean, he's definitely way past his prime. So does he want to go out this way where he was able to help a team to the playoffs and still contribute in those playoffs? Hard to say. I would think that he would retire, but some guys just have love of the game and they just keep coming back, even if they can't do 90% of what they could, like Vince Carter. So
I agree.
I think he's leaning toward retirement myself.
And so do I. And I feel bad because it's time. It's time. I mean, Dwayne Wade, Manu Ginobili, guys who have been mainstays in this league for the last 15 years that we've watched, have been incredible. Both have won titles. Both have been just wonderful players. And Donovan Mitchell, a lot of people have already compared to Dwayne Wade. So watching that talk and seeing a great like Dwayne Wade step away from the game, it's a transition time. And we're going to see more of that over the next couple of years because there's more players following suit. Last question I have for you. I know what your finals pick. You want the Jazz versus Philadelphia, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I want to ask you about that that just closed up last night. Does Philly look good enough to challenge for the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's see. They face the winner of Boston and Milwaukee in the second round. I think they have enough talent. They'll be able to win. I think Boston is going to win, but Boston is so depleted that they can get by a poorly coached team like the Bucks, but I don't see them being able to overcome Philly, and that gets them to the finals. And Toronto just has a history of underachieving in the playoffs, and I think Philly has a pretty decent chance of beating the Raptors if it comes down to them in the conference finals. I think I'd still have to lean toward Raptors, but yeah, I'd give Sixers like a 40% chance of making the finals.
That's just crazy. I was just looking at that last night and just thinking, as good as they're playing, that you have to believe they have a very good chance of advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. And to the NBA Finals, who knows? But like you said, the play right, there's plenty of opportunity there. I'd like to believe the Jazz, once they get past OKC, or assuming they do, that they can get past Houston. But that's a tall order in the West, and Houston's just trying to be so good. So I'm short on calling that anything but a very short series at this moment.
Yeah, Houston, I mean, they're going to be a challenge. Houston owns the series. I think they swept them. Didn't they sweep the Jazz this year?
Yes, they did. But that, I think most of those were very early on, too.
Yeah, but even then when Jazz finished the season 27-5 or whatever, one of those losses was to Houston.
Right.
That'll be a real, real challenge. I think with Houston, your first goal is to win a game, and then your next goal is to win a second game. They're going to be super tough.
No, I agree. And the Jazz, well, and that's what the Jazz mantra has been, one game at a time. So you almost have to believe, of course, that's exactly what they're going to do. But I'm with you. It's a tall order. I'm not sure anybody in the West, next to a healthy Golden State, I don't think anybody can challenge Houston. We're going to have to wait and see. And the Warriors, I don't know. Speaking of, did you hear what Durant said about the Jazz yesterday?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that was funny. Good for him.
Yeah. So for those who didn't catch it, you can check my timeline. I did retweet it. But Kevin Durant, when asked about whether it's a surprise the Jazz are beating OKC, his response is, no, it's not a surprise. They kicked our ass twice this year. So, yeah, to put it bluntly, Kevin Durant not surprised by how good the Jazz are right now. All right, that wraps up a quick mini cast this week.
I want to do one final note.
Okay.
Did you see who's going to be a guest at the game tonight of the Thunder?
I did not.
Enes Kanter.
Oh, really?
That's a troll job. He'll be there to troll the Jazz, but he's also kind of there to remind OKC, he's like, hey, is Melo really that much better?
if Enes Kanter is trying to troll the Jazz, do you really want that happening if you're OKC? Because I think Rudy Gobert might have something to say about that.
I don't think it'll matter. I really don't.
All right, everybody. That's a short Jedi and Germs mini cast for this Game 5 preview. We will be back at the end of the week to drop a regularly full-length episode to discuss this series. Either it's over or it's continuing, and what to expect going forward. Thank you all for joining us for this mini cast of Jedi and Germs. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.